Today is Saturday, the 24th of February, 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 121st session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And we have, to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero representing Nisaravane Forest Monastery in today's session. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante with great respect into today's session. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session and probably through the live stream over Facebook from the Satipatthasala Foundation's Facebook account. The program structure will be to commence with the in-session practice, where Bhante will guide us in an in-session practice. And then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness based on today's topic. And after that, we will go on to the question and answer session, where we present mindfulness reports and written reports and any verbal questions to Bhante for advice. And then we will wrap up the program. So to start things, I will would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits, Bhante.
Thanks, Namanta. Good day, everyone. Today, we can do a sitting session. In order to start the session, we'll do a sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your posture, make sure that you are comfortable. When you are comfortable, gently close your eyes. Now you are seated in a comfortable posture. You have your eyes closed. Bring your attention to the present moment and notice what becomes prominent. Different things become prominent. Different things appear in your field of awareness. You may feel the surrounding sounds. A variety of sounds are there. Vehicle noises, nature sounds, your family members working, talking. You don't have to do anything about these sounds. Simply be aware that you are hearing them. Now turn your attention towards the body and notice what you feel there. Certain pressure points may become prominent. Pressure on your back, your hands and legs pressing against the chair. These things might become prominent. In addition, you may notice the breathing in your body. Maybe the breathing is more prominent at your nostrils, and maybe some of you, the breathing is more prominent in your belly. Breath goes in and it comes out. Time to time, your attention may go to different thoughts, inner chatter, future planning. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes certain irritations, aches, pains appear in your body. Among all these things, you are simply aware. Let's try to continue this awareness for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes. So that was our time for mindful seeking today. This is to just to give you an idea about the sitting practice. So you can do it on your own. What we suggest is that daily at least try to do 30-minute sitting session and try to continue with it. That way only you can get to know the proper mindfulness practice. With that, Namanta, you can take over.
Yes, Bhante. Much thanks to Bhante for valued guidance through the in-session practice. Next is time for the talk on mindfulness based on today's topic. And I will share the screen for the topic. So I would like to invite Bhante again on behalf of all of us to commence with the talk on mindfulness today. Thank you, Bhante. Much thanks.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. We'll take some time to discuss today's topic. I think it's a continuation from the last time. So we'll try to take some time, discuss and relate this topic to the practice that we are doing. Now, in our life, usually we are in a struggle with time. We plan our future. We worry about the past. So this way we try to utilize time more effectively. We try to correct things with time. Various ways are there. Various struggles are there. Sometimes we hear people say that give me time. Give me time to do this work. Give me time to correct myself. Give me time so I can complete this project. So these words are quite familiar to us. Every day, all the time, we are using such words. We are communicating such ideas. So in a way, you feel like you are constant. Time is the changing one. That way we feel. We are constant. The time, it's changing. That's one way to think about it. And when you reflect upon that statement, you realize that although you said that you are constant, when you look at it, you are always changing. You were born as a young child, then you grew into middle age, then grow old. So these changes are happening in your body, in your mind. These changes are happening. So although you thought that you are constant and the time is changing, that doesn't seem to be true. Then some people, they argue that the time is a constant. Time is a constant and we are the changing entity. Time is a constant and we are changing. Our bodies are changing. Our mind is changing. We are evolving all the time. That evolution is there within us. So time, it stands still. It is like a constant. And it's us that's changing. So various arguments are there. Different philosophical approaches are there to inquire the reality of time. That way, we try to present different arguments about time, different ways of looking at it. But the mindfulness practitioner, instead of thinking about these things, instead of doing thought experiments, they simply pay attention to the present moment. Looking at the present moment, observing the present moment, inquiring the present moment, we try to be. That's mindful walking and sitting. You try to inquire. You try to observe. You try to look at the present moment. That way, you try to be present and notice what is happening. So this inquiry, although initially you might come into certain conclusions, you have to keep it open. Patiently, you have to do this observation. Rationally, you have to do this observation. With an open mind, you have to do this observation. So that way, we try to observe the present moment. We try to observe the present moment. While walking, we try to do it. While sitting, we try to do it. While doing your daily activities, you try to do this practice. So that approach we are taking, that approach is important. It's not a task that you should complete within few days. Instead, gently, you have to work towards this. Gradually, you have to work towards this. Day by day, sometime you spend doing this type of a practice, especially the formal meditation. When we say formal meditation, we think about the mindful walking and mindful sitting. You reserve some time just for the walking, just for the sitting. And that way we are doing the formal meditation. That's the formal meditation part. So in order to see the reality, see the truth behind this, you should really support yourself with the formal meditation. That formal meditation part is crucial. You have to at least spend some time, like 30 minutes of mindful sitting, 30 minutes of mindful walking. That way you have to approach this. Now there was this quote from one of the TV shows in the 80s, I guess. The Kung Fu TV show, the master is saying, now climb grasshopper, so your Kung Fu won't be weak. That's his comment towards his disciple. Grasshopper is the disciple. He's saying, now climb. Now start exercising, so your Kung Fu won't be weak. So same approach we can take towards the practice as well. The formal meditation part is important. That's more like exercising your mind, going to a gym, spending some time. That part is important. That way only you can keep your Kung Fu strong or keep your mindfulness strong. Otherwise, when you go into a day-to-day struggle, it is quite natural that you get lost. It is quite natural that you get carried away. So you have to make sure that you are strengthening this muscle in your mind. The muscle of mindfulness, you have to strengthen it with this workout that is called the formal meditation. So that way you have to approach this. That way you try to observe the present moment. Repetitively you observe. You don't come into conclusions. You patiently observe. Deeply observe, sanely observe, rationally observe. So this way you continue your observation. When you continue that observation, you notice certain things. Sometimes various incidents from the past, they appear in your mind. Sometimes you reflect upon the past and make decision. So this way you can see a certain aspect of past is active. But that part is active, that aspect is active only in the present moment. In the present moment, when you pay attention, you can really see certain aspects of past is there. Your past experiences are there. Your past memories are there. Certain ways you reacted in the past, that's there. right? So this way only we can function. So you can see the past is there, but the past is in the present moment. That is in the present moment. Whatever you have gathered in the past, sometimes they stay dormant, sometimes they become active. So that way, this present moment, it has an aspect of past as well. Then time to time, you do the future planning. This way I should work. This way I should talk to people. This way I should do this thing. That way the future planning is there. Certain worries about the future, they come to your mind. Future fears are there. So that way, even the future, it is active in your mind in the present moment. So although we talk about past, although we say our mind goes to the past, actually what is happening is that it is happening in the present moment. Sometimes your mind gets absorbed into the past thoughts. Then we say it's like now you have gone to the past. But actually, this is happening in the present moment. Sometimes your mind is absorbed into the future planning. It feels like you have gone to the future, but actually this is happening in the present moment. So this way, you can see only the present moment you can touch. Not the past, not the future, but only the present moment. And there are aspects of past in the present moment. And there are aspects of future in the present moment. So although the past is there in the present moment, although the future is there in the present moment, what matters when it comes to mindfulness is that how fast you can recover this mind back into the present moment. You get absorbed into these thoughts of the past. And initially you can't recover this mind. You are absorbed into it. But suddenly you realize that you are lost in the past. You are lost in the thoughts. With that realization, you can recover this mind back to the present moment. So that very realization is important. That point is a golden point in our practice. Before that point, you can't really do anything about it. You are lost in the past, you are absorbed in the past, but you can't really do anything about it because you don't know. But as soon as you get to know that you are absorbed into the past, that point is a golden opportunity for you to recover your mind to the present moment. Then sometimes you are absorbed into the future planning. Initially you don't know, you can't really do anything about it, but at a point, you realize that you are absorbed into the future planning. That point, you can recover your mind back to the present moment. So this is the exercise that we are doing. Instead of encouraging that absorption, instead of encouraging the past future absorption, we try to recover our mind back to the present moment. Repetitively, we do this. So when you are absorbed into the past or the future, naturally the stress, it arises in your mind. You become anxious. Anxiety, stress, these things are results of past and future. Either you are worrying about past incidents or planning the future. So that way, the anxiety, stress arises in your mind. That is the reality. That is the truth. So more you are absorbed into the past and the future, more friction you will feel. More anxious you will feel. More stressful you will feel. That's why even in nowadays, the modern scientific researchers, they have done, and they are saying the attention, it is present. More like 50% of the time it is present. 50% of the time it is absorbed into the past and the future. This is the status of your mind. When that 50% becomes 48, 49, when it is reducing, you are becoming less and less present. Then it goes towards the mental illnesses. Like some people are suffering with depression, anxiety, they become suicidal, sometimes they even kill themselves. So when the percentage of presence is reducing, they become more and more stressful, they become more and more anxious, they go towards the mental illnesses. When they become more and more present, let's say 51% of the time you are present, 52% of the time you are present, then they realize that these people, they are aging well. They can manage day-to-day difficulties and somehow survive. They have healthy relationships in their lives. So these changes are there. So you can see it's really important how present you are in your mind. If you are not present, if you are lost in your past and the future, then naturally you become more and more anxious. Naturally you feel more and more friction in your mind. So that friction will really influence us. We try to survive the day. It's even difficult to survive the day. A work day early in the morning you join. Within few hours, you feel that you are losing yourself. You can't even function throughout the day because it is that stressful, that difficult. So you can see how the friction is increasing when you are lost in the past and the future. Only that way the friction can appear in your mind. But the present moment, there's no friction. The present moment, it is always blissful. That's why there's this popular quote, I think it's from Kung Fu Panda. It's saying that past is history. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it is called the present. So today is a gift, the present. If you can really bring your attention to the present moment, then you realize you become blissful. Some people might argue that although you bring your attention to the present moment, there are difficulties in the present moment. Maybe there's bodily aches, pains. Maybe there are problems that come into your mind. But you have to realize these things are not accumulating in the present moment. You have to either go to the past or the future in order to accumulate these things. By accumulating only, you are creating a problem. By accumulating only, you are creating an illness. So this is the truth. So more you come to the present moment, more you lose the idea of time as well. If you want to feel the concept of time, if you want to experience the concept of time, you have to either go to the past or the future. You have to either be absorbed into the past or be absorbed into the future. That way only you are experiencing the concept of time. You are comparing with different situations. You are comparing with different people. You are comparing with other people's activities. So that way only you can feel the concept of time. But when you really pay attention to the present moment, when you are truly absorbed into the present moment, you can't really feel the concept of time. Why? Because that past future absorption is not there. Some people, they experience this very much in their meditation. I think most of you have also experienced this status. Now, when you do walking and sitting, sometimes the walking process, it goes out of your control. The sitting process, it goes out of your control. You are still awake, you still experience it, but it is more like out of your control. Sometimes it feels like, lucid dreaming. That type of experience is there. So when such things happen, you realize you really don't have a concept of time. Instead, it's simply you are witnessing, but you don't feel for how long you are witnessing. You don't have that ability to compare. So these moments are truly blissful, especially in the sitting meditation. Sometimes for like 5-10 minutes, these moments are there. Initially, it appears like a drowsiness. You feel really drowsy. Maybe like 20 minutes into the meditation, you feel really drowsy. You feel that you are about to fall asleep. But then you realize sometimes certain lucid dreaming type of things are happening. Time to time you hear the surrounding sounds. Time to time you feel the breath. This entire thing is becoming like a flux and you are simply experiencing it. Those type of states are there, especially in the sitting meditation, you can feel them. Maybe for like 5-10 minutes, you can feel them. Gradually, you start to feel it more and more. Initially, at early stages, you feel it maybe like 30-40 minutes into your sitting session. But later and later, when you practice more and more, you go into such states faster, maybe like within 10-15 minutes. Then day-to-day thoughts are settled, you go into this type of a state. So this flux, kind of flowing kind of state is there. And when you are there, you really don't have an idea about the concept of time. And so simply you are witnessing, you have no idea about the time. How long you are spending, you don't know. Sometimes it feels like 5 minutes and you have spent maybe 30-40 minutes in meditation. So this way, when you go through these patches, you really see your mind is totally fresh. It is becoming energetic. Afterwards, you can really feel it. It feels like you have spent an entire night of sleep. Afterwards, you are refreshed. Afterwards, you are energetic. So that way, when you lose the concept of time, the mind becomes blissful. The mind becomes energetic. And there's less friction in it. So these are signs that time, it is always changing with the status of our mind. If you are experiencing friction a lot, then the time is really long. You can't even spend a day, you can't even manage a day without losing yourself a few times. But when you feel less and less friction, you start to see that the time is flying by. That change is happening within you. That is the very idea of this practice. Then you realize the time flies by and you have very little movement in your mind. You have very little friction in your mind. People come and, you know, say things to you. They do various things. Some of the plans, they work properly. Some of them, they don't work. So this way, the world is active. The world is there. Things are happening. But you are simply unmoved by these incidents. Again and again, you do your things, you function, you talk to people, you do your part, but you are in your mind, you are not that interested, you are not that moved by this world. That experience is there. When you repeat your practice, when you continue for a few months, you start to feel this. That is a good sign that you are letting go of the friction or letting go of the past and future. When you let go of the past and future, then the present moment, you feel the bliss in it. You feel that it is more like timeless. The present moment is more like timeless. Only with the comparison, the time appears, the concept of time appears. So this way we have to continue with our practice. And when continue, maybe certain urges in you, they too are disappearing. Some people, they have urges. When the problems arise, they need to solve them. The urges are there. When there's a project, they have to complete it today or complete it within a week. Those urges are there. When there's a sickness, you want to feed it as fast as possible. Those urges are there. If they don't go according to the plans, then some people, they can't even sleep at night. You have a problem and you can't sleep. You have an illness, you want to get rid of that illness as soon as possible. Even the other people, you want to correct them within a day, within one sentence, you want to correct them. That way, you feel certain urges within you. But the practitioner, they start to realize, in this world, you can't get rid of problems. You have to live among them. You have to live with them. That is the reality of this world. So instead of solving, you develop the ability to live with the problem. The problem is there. It is not influencing you so much. And you have developed the ability to bear it, accept it. Just let it be for a while. And when you accept, when you let it be for a while, sometimes you even without knowing, the problem solves itself. Some problems, they persist, but still you are not so much influenced by them. So this change is crucial. For a practitioner, this change is crucial. If their meditation is working, they start to feel this change. Earlier, you have been a perfectionist. You wanted to make everything perfect. But now you're accepting the reality of this world. Earlier, with a problem, you can't even sleep at night. Now you let it be. You are able to accept it. You are able to live with it. When you become sick, there is no urge to get better. Instead, you can simply observe what sickness feels like. Now, somebody was sharing their experience about sickness, maybe like a week ago. Somebody was sharing, and that person didn't consume any medicine and observed with a walking session, with a sitting session, just observed how the sickness feels like. Then that person had a good insight into oneself. When the body is sick, so many aches, pains are there, are suffering with the fever, and the fever is like high temperature running through your body, certain electrical shocks are running through your body, and the breath feels like it is really hot. So these experiences are there. Apart from that, the past thoughts, maybe suppressed incidents, maybe suppressed people, they come to your mind. Sometimes the mind is lost in a song, maybe one of your favorite songs, but it becomes a real headache when it is on a never-ending loop. The same song is repeated again and again. So when these sicknesses are there, especially when you are suffering with a fever, you can really feel you lose the control. You lose the control of your mind. In a way, the natural flow is appearing. That natural flow contains bodily aches, pains. That natural flow contains the feverish heat. That natural flow contains the suppressed past experiences. That natural flow contains the problems at your home. That natural flow contains the songs that you like, different mental images that you have certain attachments with. some images are fearful. So this way, this natural flow is there. So when the fever appears, this state of mind, it is the natural flow. Sometimes in deep meditation also, we are experiencing these things. Now with the support of the fever, you are experiencing doubt, but it is difficult to bear it. It is difficult to withstand it. So most people, they prefer getting some painkillers and, you know, making yourself numb again. When you take painkillers, you become numb. That process is suppressed under the influence of chemicals. That is what's happening. So when you are sick, you can really feel the reality, the truth of your mind. Most people, they can't bear it. That's why they don't like the illness. That's why they prefer getting help, getting painkillers, getting antibiotics as soon as possible. But if you really want to do this experiment, if you really want to dig deep into your mind, these are the opportunities. These are the opportunities. Then only you can see the reality of your mind. With the support of fever, you can easily see the reality of your mind. For hours on hours, you can see the reality. So these are opportunities for us to practice. You have to let go of the urge to, you know, heal yourself. You have to let go of the urge to, you know, get health as soon as you feel some signs in your body. Instead, there may be a certain point that you have to get help. But that point is not so urgent. Instead, spend few days and see how it is going. If you need, you can get help. That's fine. But most of the time, this, you know, cold, fever, those things you can manage without much help. So that experience is really valuable when it comes to the meditators. Now only they start to see how their mind works. Although you bear that fever, the insight you get into your mind is huge. So that way only you have to dig deep into your mind. So these are opportunities for you to develop your practice, but you have to let go of the urge. You have to let go of the urge to solve these problems. You have to let go of the urge to, you know, get rid of this illness. You have to let go of the urge to, you know, do things perfect. Instead, let them be. Let them be imperfect. You do your part, but certain aspects you have no control of. The imperfections are there in this world. So you have to accept it. You have to let go of that urge. That day, if you function, you develop the ability to live with the problems, not trying to get rid of them. Instead, you live with the problems. Even your family members, certain faults are there. But let them be. Don't try to force them into, you know, some regimentation. Instead, simply those people, they have different behaviors. They have different flaws. You have to accept them. When you know your flaws, you'll know that other people also should have certain flaws. You can't correct your ones. How can you correct theirs? So that way, if you continue, then with time, you realize that your mind is becoming more and more blissful, peaceful in the present moment. So many things are happening in the world. You too participate in those activities. You too go to work. You too talk to people. But you are not so much moved by this world. You are not so much disturbed by this world. That is the lasting peace. And when we are experiencing that, we realize we really lose the concept of time. You don't know how many hours have gone by. You don't know how long that you have been doing this thing. Instead, you simply be in the present moment. You simply be. You are comfortable, you are peaceful in the present moment. That's the moment. That's the timeless moment. So thank you for participating, practice and experience for yourself.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for kindly providing us with such a deep insight on this topic. Next, we have the question and answer session. I would like to invite Sonali to present the questions and which are written reports and verbal questions after the in-session beginner's guide. I will share the screen first for that.
Thank you, Namantha. I was right, Bhante. That was a very insightful discussion we've had. Sorry, a presentation we've had. Actually, another doctor very recently said the very similar thing to me, which just made me think of this, that the body is 90% of the time that he gives medicine to the patients, 90% of the time the body heals itself, and where he treating the mind by giving medicine sometimes, he said. So I was just reflecting on that thought when you said that, Bhante. Right, so we'll start by sharing the beginner's guide to mindfulness. I'm pretty sure most of you present today here today have already gone through this or have experienced or have already started medicine meditating. But we will share this again. This is a good guide to share with your friends or anyone who wants to start meditating. I know I have been asked before, so it's a good link to be sharing with them. The link with mindfulness walking and mindfulness sitting, they both share very good experiences, very good starting point for a beginner meditator or someone who wants a refresher. Once you have watched these, we would recommend you start meditating every day, at least as Bhante said before, for 30 minutes to start off with, and then build it up for 2 hours in total for a daily presence. And of course, you could be aware of your daily mindfulness as well. Once you have started getting into a routine or have some experience for yourself, we would like to hear from you so that we can present your experience to Bhante and get his feedback if you'd like to progress further as well. So this would be you could send your experiences via an email to us via beginnersnv@gmail.com or via the Google form. We check that weekly and we will present it to Bhante. We can also listen to our missed sessions via the link given below. We will share all these links on the chat and you can use them to this link to watch the previous sessions. So I will now move on to the reports. So you can see the structure of the report as well with this. And there is only one report received via email today. There were no reports via the Google form. I will start with the first one. Mindful walking. Walked on wooden floor. There was energy in the mind for the formal walking. Felt the hardness against soles on wood. Stood at the beginning of the path, noticing the posture. Walking started at a quick pace. This has slowed down after some time. Sounds heard and walking continued. Momentarily, ease and weightlessness noted. When feet were lifted, although it was changing too quick towards the placing of feet again on the floor. Touching of clothing against body noted at times. Walked for 1 hour. Body felt energized after walking and mind felt calm and a bit bored. Mindful sitting. Sat on the low stool with feet tucked underneath. Once the body scan took place and after the sitting position was comfortable, the breath noted. Thoughts and memories also merged into no urge to pick emerged, but no urge to pick up and proliferate. Attention returned to breath. Sometimes a feeling would arise as physical pain, but did not feel obliged to check it out or adjust the posture. Simply recognized it as a feeling arising from the body consciousness at the moment. after the sitting session, noted that there is less expectation of how the session should go, and there was more interest in watching what is taking place in the mind. Attention would move between breath, thoughts, physical sensations, emotions, etc. Without having to grab any of it, rhythm of breath, however, seemed to provide a feeling of calmness. Sat for 50 minutes, calm feeling continued for a while afterwards. Mindfulness during the day. A difficult event occurred a few weeks ago. Shared this with a Dhamma friend and chose to leave it alone without trying to resolve things and with other party. Some mental proliferations took place in the next few days, but the mindfulness guided towards watching it and without reacting to it. After a few days, memory of it did not come up. The three weeks afterwards, the other party made contact, and this conversation took place was fine and normal, and no animosity about original event noted. The experiment was about not reacting to things immediately and to take a pause for a while to see what happens. Initially knew this was a wise option. However, having put it in the practice in the past few months, more experimental understandings of when to leave things alone and when to act is becoming clearer. Currently, it is a trial and error, but the mind is more agreeable in noticing things instead of resolving them immediately. Another learning from this is the increased time and energy left for pursuing important things. I do have a query for you, Bhante. It feels like formal sitting and walking sessions are continuing, but I do not remember the sequence of these events clearly these days. Everything mentioned in the formal session above had taken place, but may not be in the order I presented. When it is report writing time, I need to cast my mind back to the remembering what I noticed in them. Are there any adjustments you would suggest? Dear Bhante, look forward to your feedback. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, thanks for sharing. It has a lot of valuable information in it. Now, I will start with that, the feeling pain in the body and just observing it without trying to adjust the posture. So there you are practicing patience. There you are patiently withstanding the urge to change the posture, mindfully observing this pain that has arisen in your body. So these activities, although such things last only for a few minutes, they are very valuable. Let's say if you are a continuous meditator, you should adjust your posture properly. Initially, they don't matter, but with time, everything matters. You have to adjust this, you know, channeling or the proper directing of the energy. So directing of energy, even the food matters, even the posture matters. So all these things are related. Whether you are hydrating yourself properly, these things matter. Right, so you have to adjust them little by little. You have to think about them little by little. This is not for a beginner. Only for the long time meditators, these things are necessary. So you can start sitting in a chair, but gradually you have to, you know, move towards the floor and somehow develop the ability to sit probably in half lotus posture. Half lotus or maybe hero pose for women. Even for women, half lotus is fine. But it is hard to sit like this. Initially, your knees go towards the sky. That suggests that your body is not ready for this posture. But gradually, the thighs, they touch the floor more and more. These feet on the floor more and more. And that way, this posture become really steady and comfortable. So that's a long-term project. Adjusting a posture, it's not easy. But gradually, if you know what you are doing, if you want to improve your practice, you have to make sure that these things are also adjusted. So bearing a pain and staying for a few minutes without changing it, it helps to adjust your posture as well. You have the ability to sit on a yoga mat or something like that with minimum back support for an hour in the half lotus posture. So these things are worthwhile abilities for a meditator. You are able to, you know, keep your body still for 1 hour. That's a worthwhile achievement. Otherwise, most people, they appear like monkeys. Not just monkeys, those yellow monkeys. Right? They can't stand still. They can't maintain their posture. Always adjusting, changing, reacting to pain, reacting to irritations, reacting to the surrounding. So that's how most of the people live, because they are lost in that process. They have no hope. They don't know what's happening. So that's why the category of monkeys, another category of monkeys. What can you do? They can't withstand it. So sitting on the floor, on a yoga mat with minimum back support, you are able to sit for 1 hour. How much of an achievement is that? Then you are able to walk barefoot on the ground for 1 hour. That's a worthwhile achievement. You call this so-called body your body. If it is your body, you should be able to exercise it properly. You should be able to sit on the floor. You should be able to walk barefoot. So those abilities, they don't come overnight. But if you are a long-time meditator, you have to, you know, withstand the pain, bear it, and somehow stay a few minutes daily. And in no time, within a few weeks, you can adjust your posture properly. You can stay there for 1 hour, gradually increasing 5 minutes daily, little by little. Maybe initially you have to change the posture 3-4 times. But with time, you realize without even moving, without even changing anything, you stayed 1 hour in the seated posture. Not in a chair, but in the half lotus posture. So that way only you can really develop your meditation. So all these channels, the energy channels, they start to align. The posture matters, the food matters. You know how your body reacts to certain foods. The weather matters, the drinking of water, hydrating yourself, they matter. So everything matters. For a long time meditator, everything matters. So gradually you are aligned in all these lines in a single direction. So you can really attain peace in your mind. So that idea is also mentioned in your report. When you let go of the unnecessary things, you have more energy left for the things that really matter to you. If the peace within matters to you, then you have more energy left towards that. Otherwise, most of the time we are distracted like monkeys, wasting energy, going after every little thing we see. It's not helping, right? So that ability is important. That very ability, the ability to bear this pain and somehow stay, be conscious, observe the pain, that ability is applicable even, you know, day-to-day problems. That's why you are saying choose not to react to this problem. Choose to leave it alone. So still you feel friction. You can't leave it alone. There is an urge to solve this. There is an urge to interfere. And that's there. But what you are doing is that you are exercising your ability. Just leave the problems alone and see how it is going. Initially, it's really hard, but with time, you can, you know, develop that ability. So you are saving your energy. You are wisely utilizing your energy. And sometimes towards the last part of your report, you are saying sometimes you have to act. That is true. Most of the time, we refrain. Right? Now, there's some sutra where it says that although you see, be like a blind. Although you hear, say like a deaf person. Although you have strength in your body, say like a weak person, although sometimes you are alive, be like a dead body and somehow survive these situations. When the problems come, when other people try to, you know, involve yourself in them, somehow you survive. You see things, you stay like a blind. You hear things, you stay like a deaf person. You have the strength, but you stay like a weak person. Your intellect is good, but you stay like a fool. Your body is breathing, but you stay like a dead body and somehow survive this world, somehow survive this difficult situations. So this part is popular in this sutra. This part is popular. Everybody is saying that, suggesting that. But on the same sutra, there's the second part that suggests that the attentive person, the mindful person, that person sees everything. That person hears everything. That person feels everything because very present, very active. Right? So that person feels everything. That person hears everything. That person sees everything. But the wise doesn't always let go. Wise doesn't always leave things alone. Sometimes you have to act. That opportunity you have to pick. When to act. I can't suggest. I can't give a recommendation. Instead, you have to find the balance that works for you. Certain occasions are there, you have to act. Right? Wisely knowing when to act is important. That ability is important. So you are hearing things, you are seeing things. Most of the time you are not acting. But certain occasions you act. That is the ability of the nature. That's why nature is so efficient. Nature feels like not interested, not interfering. Things are happening, not trying to solve. Right? But when you spend more and more time observing, you see that somehow things are happening perfectly, somehow interfering. That's why they say nature doesn't hurry, but nothing left undone. Nature doesn't hurry. It feels like nature doesn't care, but nothing left undone. Gradually, patiently, picking the proper moment, you have to act. That ability, that balance, you have a unique balance. I can't suggest, I can't give a recommendation about your balance. Instead, I can give a recommendation about my balance. So that's the only way. So we are in a unique situation. We have unique problems. We have unique people surrounding us. Depending on that situation, depending on that problem, depending on that people, you have to find your balance. So it's a worthwhile experiment. Always trial and error. Now, a few days ago, somebody was saying, you know, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I realized it was a mistake. I accepted my mistake. I will not make this mistake again. So I said, the initial part is very good. You made a mistake. You accepted, you acknowledged your mistake. You learned from it. That's good. But don't expect not to make that mistake again. Tomorrow also you might make the same mistake. That's fine. Another learning opportunity. Right? What happens to most people is that they want to correct themselves overnight. Always trial and error. After doing so many years of practice, still things go wrong. Still you make mistakes. But your recovery is much faster. You can recover much faster. You can come to the day-to-day status, the usual status of your mind much faster. So that's the way. Don't try to, you know, be perfect. Always certain imperfections are there in our lives. Always things go right. Sometimes they go wrong. So it's always trial and error. And you find even the balance is changing. There's no certain point, a middle point. Even the balance is changing. So today this is the balance. Tomorrow there'll be a new balance. Day after tomorrow, a totally new one. So that way you are experimenting, you are learning. And when you have that energy, no, you won't grow old. You are always young, you are always energetic, you are always fresh. Right? So that way you have to keep working at it. Just, you know, every day it's an opportunity for you to learn. Every day it's an opportunity for you to find that new balance. That way you have to work. Then finally you are inquiring about reporting. Right, so the reporting, if I say this, if it goes to memory properly, if it goes to memory without any confusion, you have so much attraction, so much attachment towards the present moment, towards the things that you're experiencing. So much attachment is there, that's why it goes to memory so precisely. That's why you can report everything accordingly. That's what happens to some people, right? When you deal with them, they keep history. They can recall, like 3 years after, they will recall that you, on this day, you told me something like this, it hurt me a lot, and it's been 3 years, and 45 days, but still I am mad. Right? So perfect memory, but it's a curse. It's a curse because so much attachment. That's why your memory is so good. Right? So in a way, when we practice, we are easily letting go of things. Maybe not like forgive and forget. Initially forget and forgive. You know, initially you forget. That's the perfect forgiveness. You can't remember what happened, so forgiven. Forgiven. No need to ask for forgiveness. No need to give any forgiveness. Forgiven. Why? Can't remember. Can't remember. When you can't remember, true forgiveness is there. Otherwise, if you forget and forgive, that won't happen. If you forgive and forget, that won't happen. It's artificial. Even after so many years, they recall. Even when you deal with your spouse, although those things are discussed, although those things were forgiven, still when they are mad, they remind those things. As soon as they are mad, they go to dwell in that place. They recall those past incidents and they blame you. Why? True forgiveness is not there. You are discussed, you have forgiven, but still when you are mad, you go to that place. The dwelling place, it feels so comfortable once you are mad, right? So that happens. That happens. So forgiveness, true forgiveness is, if you forget, then true forgiveness is there. No need to ask for it, no need to give it, forgiven, right? So the memory, it's tricky. Some people say, when you forget, how can you function? You wait and see, will you? It's all right. You can do it. You can function without issue. You can do your, you know, office work much more efficiently. But these unnecessary things, you are keeping track, keeping account, and, you know, trying to resolve everything. That's not proper. Instead, the practitioners, they start to feel that they sat for 1 hour, worked for 1 hour, nothing to recall. Even reporting, it's forceful. It's forceful. You feel like you're artificially creating something in order to report. But that's fine. We are still trying because, you know, we need to share this with the world. Your reporting, although it is not proper, although it is forgetful, although somehow you compose this, it is helpful for others to listen. This is how people practice and this is how they experience the benefits of this practice. So that way, continue the reporting. Don't worry about it. Whatever you feel, whatever you remember, just report it. That's fine. More you practice, more forgetful you'll become, the more confused you become about the 1 hour of walking, 1 hour of sitting, even day-to-day experiences, you feel like you are not interested. Simply your mind is not so interested. It's not so moved. So that's a good thing. You walked one hour, nothing went to your memory. So that's perfect. You sat for 1 hour, nothing interested you. Perfect. You survived a whole day, but still you can't remember anything valuable out of that day. Most people, they don't like so boring life. they'll say. But go to the interesting life and see how much of a curse that is. That's why there's this Chinese saying, may you live in interesting times. If the times are interesting, then that is a curse. Although this feels like a blessing, it's a curse. It's a Chinese curse. They are saying, may you live in interesting times. Then even one of the Bodhisattva stories, similar statements are there. They are cursing. You may become a king in a country. You may become the head of a temple. You may become a minister. That's the curse. Why? Interesting times. Interesting times. So that's a curse. Right? So this way is good. Continue practicing. Then Sonali,
thank
something
you,
about that your earlier comment, placebo, right? Placebo effect, that's true. You have to really find the data. The data will surprise you. You know, most of the time only the placebo is acting, not the medicine, right? So the doctors are saying you can really read into the data. And some experiments, they feel like the 50%, the sample group and the others, like 50% of them are healing. Even the placebo works 50%. Medicine works 50%. So which one is working? You don't really know, right? So that way, when you read into data, you realize it's the idea that you got medicine. That is the cause of the healing. Nothing else. We had a dog when I was younger. It is sick, right? So when it is sick, can't move, can't eat, nothing works. So we get it into the three-wheeler and goes around a few kilometers, go meet the doctor. Without even medicine, when it returns home, it is better. Why? Went to see the doctor, got into the three-wheeler and traveled a few kilometers. That's the need. That's the need. When we have that, we are better. No need to get the medicine. Right? So that's totally mind working. You're totally down. You need medicine. As soon as you realize that you got medicine, you are better. So if the mind is stronger, you don't need medicine. That's the real idea. Most of the time, you don't need medicine. There are occasions, maybe accidents, certain illnesses, you might have to still go and meet a doctor. That's fine. But most of the time, it's the mind. If you think that you need medicine, then you need. You get some sugar pills without knowing you drink, thinking it's medicine, and you'll get better. So that's the reality. Most these things, they are proving how crucial the mind is. You think you got medicine, you'll get better. You think it's a placebo, you won't get better. Right? So that way, it works. So you have to really see the influence of the mind, the importance of the meditation. That's what emphasized in these situations.
Yes, Panthi, totally agree. And thank you for that. And thank you for the person who wrote the report as well. It's time to move on to questions now. If anyone has any comments, questions about the talk or about any of the other topics that you can ask Panthi, please raise your Zoom hand or type your question in, and I will present it to Panthi. So there's a comment in the chat session. It's more of a comment than a question. The present moment being a combination of past influences and future proliferations, and the true power of being alive is to recover from the past and future and being acting in the present. Imminent was a slight, truly insightful and remarkable sharing. It's more of a comment than a question, Bhante.
Yeah, so we don't really go to the past. It's simply we got absorbed into the past memories, thoughts in the present moment. We don't really go to the future. We get absorbed into the future planning, right? So what matters is that how fast you can recover your mind. How fast you can recover from that absorption. That's what matters. faster you recover, it is okay. Those thoughts come and go, no issue. But you can recover your mind faster. That ability we are improving with repetitive practice. That's what we are doing. Some people, they think that you'll forget the past, you'll forget the future. Everything will go away. That's not true. Instead, you get the past. Thoughts are there, future thoughts are there, future planning they are there. But you are recovering your mind much faster. And it is not intentional when you have trained yourself. Naturally, the mind is returning to the present, letting go of those past, future matters. That ability is important. That's why I earlier said you can function without issue. Some people think that when I let go of the past, can I survive in this world? When I don't think about future, can I survive in this world? When I can't remember, can I survive in this world? That way you question. But whenever necessary, those thoughts are there, you can pay attention to them. Those memories are there, you can pay attention to them. That intentional utilization you can do. But most of the time, it is unconscious. Unconsciously, we are lost, absorbed into these thoughts. Unconsciously, we are absorbed into the future fears. That part will go away. Thoughts are there, memories are there. When needed, you can access them and utilize them. But you are not becoming a slave to that process. That is the change that will happen with the meditation. You will still remember your past. You will be able to recognize your family members. Don't worry. Right? You will still be able to plan the future. You will be able to survive in this world. You will still remember when it is necessary. You can access the memory locations. It's simply how much of a control that you have of this process. So that will increase when you practice. Initially, you have to practice intentionally. You have to, time after time, you have to become aware that you are absorbed into the past or the future, and you have to recover your mind to the present moment. This training you have to do thousands and thousands of times. When you do it, within few months you realize the mind is habitually returning to the present moment. Without your intention, it is returning. So that's a valuable thing. That's very much valuable. Somebody was saying that woken up in the middle of the night, that person realized the thinking, the attention is there in a family problem. Even while you are sleeping, there is no break. While you are sleeping, still the mind goes to those thoughts, thinking about the family problems. Again and again, going through that same never-ending loop. So that poor person woke up in the middle of the night and realized the mind is thinking about a family problem. So this is how it is. Even you are unconscious, the mind is lost on those past and the future thoughts. Right? So you have to intentionally do this training, and naturally your mind will return to the present. Habitually, it will return to the present. Then the meditation is happening. Whether you like it or not, the mind is meditating. So that's the target. That's how you have to develop this practice. Become that habitual ability to return to the present moment. Then you'll be really peaceful.
Thank you, Bhante. I don't think we have any more questions. So I will hand over to you now, Bhante, to end the session.
Thank you and many merits to you, Sonali. And also thank you and many merits to Venerable Bhante for such excellent guidance. And also thank you for the report that was sent to the question and answer session. Now we have come to the closure of this session. I would like to wrap up quickly. We would like to associate all these merits gained in today's session to Venerable Bhante Homa Gumadangma Kusala Thero, and we wish these merits will have a positive impact on Bhante's own practice of mindfulness. And I would like to also wish these merits to be shared with the most venerable Udayirigam Dhammajiva Mahathera, the chief abbot of the Nisarvana Forest Monastery, for providing us and requesting us to build this kind of program platform to transmit this kind of advice, know-how, and insight on how to develop into deeper capabilities of mindfulness in this manner. So we wish him, wish both Bhantes and all the Bhantes of Nisarvana Forest Monastery a long health and great insightful progress into mindfulness practice. Furthermore, I would like to mention and pass on merits to all the wonderful organizers of this program who are working hard behind scenes to contribute each week to sustain the program at this kind of level of quality, and I wish these merits will have a positive impact on each of your own practice as well. And I would also like to pass on merits to all of those who join through to this Zoom session, and also to those who join through the Facebook live stream, as I could see from some reactions. Thank you, and please share in these merits, and I wish your own practices will flourish with the knowledge and the tools that you gain from these programs in this manner. Furthermore, our program will continue weekly basis as usual, and we will have the next session next week, same day, Saturday, at the same time. That's 1 p.m. in Sri Lankan time, wherever you are in the world. And please feel free to invite others to join and listen to this session if you can. I would like to end the Zoom session, and I wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead, and hope you will get to practice and improve further in your own practices. Thank you. Much merits to all of you.